Well, thanks. Good morning. It's great to see all of you here. I want to welcome everybody joining us online, and you picked a great day to be here. Lots of fun things happening in the life of our church. Excited to continue in this teaching series that we actually just kicked off last Sunday. But first, a few things I'd like to hit on. One, if you haven't heard the good news, we have hired a brand new worship pastor named Caleb Hunt. Next Sunday is his first Sunday that he's going to be leading worship. But wait, there's more. He and his wife, Haley, got into town this weekend and joined us for worship today. So y'all stand up, and we just want to say welcome. Caleb and Haley are incredible. We are so blessed that God has sent them to us from a great church down in Orlando, and they're going to be out in the lobby after the service, and you can drop by and give them that gift card you came prepared to give them today. Just welcome them to the faith family, and y'all are going to love getting to know them. And like I said, he'll be up here. Our worship team does such a great job. He's just going to step right in, and it's just going to be incredible, and we're so glad you guys are with us today. Also, I'm excited that in just a few weeks, we're going to go to three services. Now, if you're wondering why we're going to three services, just look around the room, right? That's all you got to do in this service. The 9 o'clock service, there's actually only a few seats in that one as well. So we're full. We've been full for a while. So we're adding a third service. And we're also hoping that we reach a whole bunch of new people through these three services as well. So a few things about that. One, they're all the same service. You choose the one that works for you, works for your schedule. Two, you may notice there's not as much time in between them as we have now between our 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service. And so our parking team is spending much hours in prayer trying to figure out how to make all of that happen. And we're going to cooperate with them. So if you serve, you'll be hearing from your ministry leader about parking in a particular area of our parking lot. We'll shuttle you to the front door so you don't have to walk, especially during these winter months. We want to make sure we take care of you. But we want to keep some parking out front closer to the building for first-time guests that God brings us. But one of the things that less time in between services will help with is it just makes it a little bit more convenient to serve. So if you attend the 8 o'clock service, just say, for example, even though there's not as much time between the end of that service and the start of the 9:30 service, you'll still have time if you want to serve at 9:30 to get to where you need to serve. And so I know that's been a question some folks have asked. And so as you kind of begin to think through and pray through which service you want to attend or which service you want to serve, I think that's helpful to know. And then also on that day, we're kicking off a brand new series called God Only Knows. You may have saw the banners when you drove onto our campus today. We're going to give you some invites on your way out today. We want you to go ahead and begin to use those. So over the next 3 weeks, you can invite your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, family members. I really believe this is a series that will meet a lot of people right where they're at, wondering if there's a God who actually cares about them and recognizes them with whatever it is they're walking through. We also have some yard signs for you to pick up today. So pick up a yard sign, preferably for your yard, and then take it home, all right? And, you know, upset your HOA to the glory of God. So that'll be a lot of fun over the next few weeks. And hopefully, as we kind of get the word out, we will see a whole lot of new people coming to our campus. But here's the thing. I mean, we can do yard signs and invites and all the things. A one-on-one conversation that you have inviting someone is super powerful. So make sure you do that. And we'll begin. Obviously, we'll keep talking about that between now and February 1st. Before today, we're continuing our teaching series, The Time Is Now. We're going to talk about how the time is now to serve our community. This is a big part of who we are as a church at New Hope. Those of you who have been around here for a while know that. If you're new, it's good for you to see that about our church. But what I want us to do today is see biblically why that matters. The story we're going to look at in Luke chapter 10 tells us that. And then when you leave today in the lobby, there's going to be an opportunity for you to visit with some ministry leaders. We're calling it our Missions Connect, to see practically, tangibly, how you can take some steps to go ahead and begin to serve in our community through New Hope Church if that's not something that you have ever done before. But let me read the story. It's one you're familiar with, but I think it has some principles in there for us when it comes to the importance of serving our community. So it's kind of known as the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Kind of a longer story, so hang with me. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What's written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Go and do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor. So this expert in the law, the follow-up question reveals his heart. He's not really trying to figure out the answer to this question. He's trying to trap Jesus. So Jesus gives him the answer, and then he's like, well, who is my neighbor? And interestingly enough, Jesus will answer this question by telling a story. And Jesus is going to tell him a parable. The Gospel of Luke is full of parables. We're reading from the Gospel of Luke today. If you're new to the Bible, a parable, it's a story Jesus would tell from time to time, and it was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So he's telling a story. It's not a factual story. He's telling a story using things that people were familiar with. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is he's telling us something about God. He's telling us something about what it means to actually follow him. So he replies to the question with a story. Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan. Now, the moment Jesus said that, everybody would have stopped, and they would have really begun to listen. Because, see, Jews and Samaritans not only didn't like each other, they hated one another. So for Jesus to drop a Samaritan into the story would have gotten everybody's attention. Making the Samaritan the hero of the story would probably have offended everyone, which Jesus had no problem offending people at all, right? But as a Samaritan, he traveled. He came where the man was. He saw him, took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of the three of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of the robbers? The expert in the law replied to Jesus, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. And in this story, I believe we get the answers to a question. Why is it that we serve our community? I mean, biblically speaking, why do we serve our community? I think there's 4 answers to that question. I think we see them in the story. So let's start taking notes. We'll revisit the story and kind of highlight some of the aspects that reinforce these principles. But the first answer, the first reason for serving our community is that we want the point of ministry to be people, not ministry. We want the point of ministry to be people, not ministry. Now, I'm not trying to play semantics here, but hang with me just for a second. I've been around church my whole life, grew up in church. I've served in churches now for 26 years. I love church. And let me tell you what can happen very easily to any church, our church. We have to be very careful about this. What can happen is that the ministries that were originally intended and designed for people, before long, you kind of forget about that, and you actually start to make them the focus rather than the people that they were designed to reach. That's what happens in the story. The priest and the Levite, y'all, they are trained in ministry. These are ministry leaders of the day. They're trained in ministry, and they missed the ministry that God had for them that day, which was a hurting person. And if we're not careful, we can let the same thing happen, that we get so focused about what we're doing that we forget who we're actually doing it for. So let's right-size this. Let's clarify this. What does that look like here at New Hope? So let's kind of revisit our mission, our purpose statement. The point of this ministry, New Hope Church, is to reach people with the hope of Jesus, teach them to follow God's word, and release them as lights into the world. That's been the focus of this ministry now since the start of this church in 2002. But let's just right-size this for a second. The focus is people. Focus of our church is to reach people with the hope of Jesus. And here's the thing, every ministry that exists in New Hope exists for that purpose, to reach people. Now, here's what's helpful to remember. These are people who don't even know we exist. These are people who God's not on their radar. New Hope's not on their radar. The need for a Savior is not on their radar. They live in our community. God has called us to reach them. So we exist to reach people who don't even know we exist yet. In fact, the church is the only organization in the entire world that exists for people who haven't joined it yet. That's why God placed us here. It's a great commission. So we exist to reach people who are far from God. And then we want to point them towards God through his word, obviously. They experience salvation through Jesus Christ. They start the journey of walking by faith, learning from God's word, and then ultimately releasing them as lights. And I hope that you recognize the light that you carry. We try to remind you as often as we can that not Not, you don't have to stand on a stage and teach the Bible to be a minister. We've actually all been called to ministry. You have a light. God's called you to shine your light wherever you go. But everything that we do around here exists to reach and to serve the people in our community that God has placed us here to reach. Now, when it comes to doing that, here's what we recognize. We can't do that alone. There's so many great churches in our community that are reaching people. We praise God for that. There are other ministries in our community that are reaching people, and we praise God for that. And so we partner, but at the end of the day, we exist to reach people. Second thing I want you to see, second, just kind of right-sizing this for New Hope Church. It's one thing to love serving a community. It's another to love the people in it. Those are two different things. And if you think about the term community, it's kind of a catch-all word that can mean different things depending on who's using it. Someone says, I love living in my community. Well, that may mean they love the shopping in the community. They love the restaurants in the community. They love the outdoor, you know, activities. They love the sports teams. Like, we don't really know what someone means when they say, I love this community. And it can be an easy trap to fall into to love the community and just never actually interact with the people who live in the community. Do you know the people in your community? Do you love the people in your community? Do the people, here's a good question, do the people in your community know you? The sad truth for most churches is if they were removed from their communities, the community would never notice or care because there was never a great impact being made by that church in its local community. If I sound like I'm on a soapbox, it's because I am. Sometimes it can be easy for churches and pastors. I am one, so I can call us out. It can be easy for pastors and churches to care more about what other pastors and other churches in other parts of the country think about them than their neighbors who live right down the road that they're called to reach. So we have to love the people in our community, know the names of the people in our community, know the stories of the people in our community. Actually get out behind these, from behind these walls and talk to the people in our community. We love the people in our community. And then finally, just kind of right-sizing this for New Hope Church, the measure of our faith isn't what we know about Jesus, but how we love like Jesus. Our faith isn't measured by what we know about Jesus. I hope that you learn more about Jesus. I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say otherwise. I teach the Bible for a living. But if our knowledge of Jesus doesn't lead to us loving like Jesus, I would question the Jesus that we're learning about. Knowledge isn't measured by what we obtain. It's measured by what we apply. And the people in our community who don't know God are not impressed by what we know about Jesus, but they can't get over someone loving them like Jesus. And that's what we've actually been called to do. And church, let's never forget, Jesus never asked anyone to change before he loved them. In fact, Jesus was called a friend of sinners. You ever seen these churches? Like, I grew up in a church where they would like march down the aisle two or three times a year with like banners. I never really knew why, but it was fun. So they had like these banners and it would have like the names of Jesus, you know, like the Lamb of Life, you know, and all the Alpha and Omega. I never saw a banner that said Friend of Sinners. Not once. We might actually bring that banner out next week. That'd be kind of fun, right? I'm kidding. We won't do that, all right? Friend of Sinners. You ever been called a friend of sinners? Isn't that interesting? That the people who needed Jesus, he was quick to go meet them right where they were at. He loved them just the way they were. And it was that love and that acceptance that motivated them to recognize there might be something different about the life I'm living. What if he's calling us to do the same, church? What if he's calling us to meet people right where they are, voting differently than us? I know, unbelievable. Having different opinions than us, different interests than us, different lifestyles than us. And we meet them right where they're at. And we show them the love of Jesus. And that's what we've been called to do as a church. And there are needs all around us, church, that God calls us to step into as a community. We can't do it all on our own. We partner with ministry partners in order to help us accomplish what God's called us to do. You're gonna learn about these ministry partners today. As you go out and you talk, we've got volunteers from each of them at the tables in the lobby, and one of them that we partner with is the Raleigh Dream Center. We don't have a food pantry here on our campus because we partner with them. They have greater resources that are available, and through our partnership, they're a kingdom gospel-focused ministry. We're able then to meet very real needs with real people living in our community. And we showed a video of our teams that go out and do this recently at our Pacesetters dinner that we did back in November, but I know not all of you were able to attend that Pace Sitters dinner. So I thought it'd be fun for you to get to see what's already happening here at New Hope that you can actually be a part of. So take a look at this video.
Lord, for this beautiful day. I pray, God, that in the name of Jesus, all these families will be impacted, not just to receive food, but be able to receive hope in their life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I believe this is a way to make a difference in people's life. And my hope is that for God to use me and use all these beautiful people, the team from New Hope, to share the gospel.
We are literally 5 miles down Fayetteville Street, and to see the needs that are here has given me a greater sense of community. New Hope felt there was a need to serve communities in and surrounding Durham County, and the Raleigh Dream Center was a means of doing that, and it was just a matter of working out logistics. We're not only giving them food twice a month, we're also teaching them about Jesus in our little kids jam area. And over time, these kids and even some of the residents that don't even speak English, we feel like we're reaching them in a real way.
Yo te pido, Señor, por una provisión, una bendición, y que el gozo tuyo sea su fortaleza, Señor, y que ellos puedan conocerte cada día más, Señor, en el día a día. Gracias, Señor, porque nos has dado el privilegio de conocerlos y ellos son una bendición para nosotros. En el nombre de Jesús, te damos gracias. Amén y amén.
You can walk outside your door and find a local mission. And the way that New Hope found those for us, they make it easy for us to volunteer. For 2 hours on a Saturday, are there things I could be doing? Well, yeah. Is there anything I'd rather be doing? Not anymore. And just feel like that all it takes is one visit here, and you see the laughter, you see the smiles on the kids' faces. I've invested so much of my time and energy in a mission, a local missions project that I just love. It's an opportunity, and so thank you, New Hope, for giving me that opportunity to share what it means to me in hopes that others will see it and love it as much as I do.
Again, that's going to be an opportunity you can learn more about when you leave today out in our lobby. Give me the second thing we see from this story for why we serve our community. We want to respond to needs that exist, not needs that we think exist. Again, maybe I've just been around church too much in my life, but this can be an easy thing to happen where you're creating ministries for needs that you think exist instead of actually finding out what the real needs are and then creating the ministries from there. And in our story, it's pretty obvious what the need is, right? We'll go back and revisit the verse quickly here, but we see what happened to this guy. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened then to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Now, the priest, it wasn't that he wasn't interested in ministry. He just wasn't interested in the need that was actually right there in front of him. And it's important as a church that we meet needs that really exist. So how do you find out what needs really exist? You go to the front lines and you talk to people. You go ask them. You go out into your community and you find out what the real needs are. And then you come back and you prayerfully begin to design ministries to meet those needs. You don't create ministries in a meeting room with a dry erase board. That's what I'm trying to say. You find out what's really going on. What are the needs? How can our church step in and begin to meet those needs? Obviously, homelessness is a need in every community. And the Durham Rescue Mission has been in existence since 1974. So we partner with them. And not only do they provide a homeless shelter, they point people to Jesus. They have classes for opportunities. And rather than turn our church into a homeless shelter, we don't have to start from scratch. We can partner with someone who's already doing it at a high level, gospel focused. And again, that's one of the other ministries here that you can find out about our Missions Connect after the service and how you could be a part of it. And so there are needs that we are aware of, and we want to step into those needs. But then every single community has different needs based on that community. And sometimes the best way that you find out what the needs are is you go talk to community leaders. Some of the best people to find out where needs are administrators of local schools. You go sit down with administrators, talk to them, athletic directors, coaches, teachers. That's why we have a partnership with Fayetteville Street Elementary, a public school just right down the road, and we partner with them. And we pray for the teachers and we pray for the administrators. But every now and then, they have a real need. And it doesn't sound like super spiritual on the surface, but it's a legit need. I can remember a couple of years ago, they called us and they said, is there anything y'all could do to help us? Our copy machine went out. Now, when you think copy machine, I don't know what comes to mind. Their copy machine's like bigger than this table, okay? Like a copy machine at a school, it's a pretty big thing. And if you run a school and you don't have a copy machine, everything kind of slows down. And so they called us and they said, is there anything we can do? And we said, absolutely. And within 48 hours, y'all, we had bought them a brand new copy machine and had it delivered to the administrative offices there at Fayetteville Street Elementary School. That's what your giving makes happen. That's why we can say yes quickly when there are real needs. So we don't meet needs that don't exist. We meet them as they exist. And that's a way that we can show people who are far from God the love of Jesus. I learned this lesson early on in ministry. Let me take you back to the spring of 2001. What were you doing in the spring of 2001, all right? I was a middle school pastor. Yes. It was fun, all right? I was a middle school pastor, and on this particular day, I was actually meeting with an administrator of a high school that was there in our community, and I just asked this question, what's the greatest need you have in your school? And she said, character education. Kind of caught me off guard. I said, what do you mean? She said, our kids, you know, they're going to college, they have good test scores, our school meets all the markers, it's a great school. She goes, but the character of these students, I've just noticed it's not what it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Now, this was 2001, y'all. She's telling me this. And she said to me, do you think you and some other student pastors could write a curriculum that we could teach in our classes to help our students develop character? I said, let me pray about it. Yes, I can do that, right? So I couldn't use Bible verses, but I could use biblical principles. And so that's what we did. Me and some other youth pastors got together. We wrote this curriculum. That fall, we came back, and one day a month, there would be a student from every class that would be nominated for the character award. They would all come to a lunch. We would do a big lunch, a big breakfast with them. And then we would disperse, go into the classrooms, and we would teach these character lessons that me and some other guys had written. So these are 30, 40 pastors, youth pastors, community leaders, one day a month. Wouldn't you know, the day that we did it that September was September 11, 2001. Then on that day, I was in a classroom of 10th grade students teaching a character lesson that I had written with some other student pastors earlier that year. And the administrators came around to all of the rooms and said, would you guys be willing just to stay for the rest of the day to help our students process what they're going through? And of course, we said, absolutely. And what I learned that day was oftentimes when there's a tragedy in a community, a church wants to then go to the tragedy and try to provide hope and care for those who are hurting. But sometimes what's more helpful is to have already been there before the tragedy occurred, to have already formed the relationship before it was actually needed, so that when the need happens, you already have the trust. And that's what we had that day, and it created a ministry opportunity that we would have never been able to come up with on our own. Why? Because we didn't just try to guess at what the need was. We found out what it was, we met it, God opened up more doors. I believe the same can happen for us here when we apply this principle. I mean, the third thing I think we see from this story, we want to serve with no strings attached. What does that mean? We don't expect anything in return. The third reason we see from this story, why do we serve our community? Well, we don't do it so that something will be reciprocated back to us. That's what it means to serve with no strings attached. That's what we see from the story. Here's the principle from the story. So let's look at the verse where we see this put into practice. The next day, we're talking about the Good Samaritan there, obviously, took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will collect the interest on the money I just loaned him. Is that what your translation says? No, right? He says, when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. That's incredible generosity. Not only is he going to meet the need, if there's a greater need, I'll pay for that as well. No strings attached. I'm just going to take care of this guy because that's what I'm supposed to do, even if it doesn't come back to me. And that's an important lesson for us to be reminded of, church. Like when we serve in our community, it's not so that anything will be benefited as New Hope Church. Like we don't do this so that we can experience some type of benefit as a church. No, we do this because our God is a giving God. Our God is a generous God. I mean, our God gave us his only son so that we could experience salvation. Part of what it means to be a Christ follower is that we model that empowered by the Holy Spirit. That everywhere we go, we should be marked by giving, marked by generosity, marked by abundance. Just being generous, never expecting or asking for anything in return. Do you think people in this world will take notice of people who live their lives that way? I mean, everybody's looking for something. What happens when you just show up and you give and you love and you're not doing it in a way that benefits you? You're doing it because it's literally what you've been called to do. It's what you've been empowered to do. It's the light that you carry. It's a great reminder for why we also carry this same focus and this same initiative beyond just our local community. I mean, our sister church in the DR, we serve and we love partnering them, but we don't serve so that Jehovah Nisi, you know, comes here and does something for us. That's not how this works. No, we're blessed to just be giving. We're blessed to just be serving. It's why we also serve when things happen, maybe even in other parts of our state. Like when the hurricane came through last year and devastated Western North Carolina. I mean, right away, we put our yes on the table. And there was a good period of time where you couldn't even get into Western North Carolina to help. They had to rebuild infrastructure just to bring in help. And we were able to start doing that early on through our partnership with Operation Blessing. That's going to be another area that you can find out more when you leave the service today. We've got other trips this year that you can take. There's more opportunities now. The further time passes, the more opportunities, and we're going to continue to serve. I just read an article this week saying most organizations have already pulled out of Western North Carolina. They've already moved on. And we're not going to move on. This is our state. These are our people. And this is an opportunity for us to serve. No strings attached. Not for anything that we can get in return. And so, again, that's an opportunity you can learn about today. But I wanted you to hear from a couple in our church who have had the opportunity to already go and serve and make a difference and meet a need and the blessing that they've experienced in doing so. So take a look at this video.
Hi, we're Tom and Donna McCarroll. We serve on the disaster relief team with New Hope Missions.
So here we are, brand new folks testing out New Hope, and first thing we hear is that you've got a disaster relief team at New Hope, and that just kind of hit us right where we live, so.
Yeah.
Awesome opportunity.
Yes, we signed up that day when the announcement was made that you had a disaster relief team. And that was being put together. We looked at each other, went home, and signed up immediately for that ministry team.
There's always an unknown, especially in disaster relief. You go out, you may not have any idea what you'd be working on, who you're gonna run into that particular day. And it's always open. If you're open to leading of the Holy Spirit and kind of fall into your situation, you get an opportunity to do things maybe you've never done before or meet people who really, on the surface, might not even appear that they want to talk about what their situation is, but when they see that you have a heart for helping them, suddenly it opens things up and it opens up the door for spiritual conversations.
I think Tom said it well when he said the unknown makes it exciting from the time that God puts a team together. We don't know anybody on the team, so I really have to rely on God. So my faith grows in the uncertainty. The only person I can put my trust in is God. And the plan is almost secondary because God always shows up in incredible ways.
The benefits that I've noticed from serving on the disaster relief team really, I think, go most to getting to know folks here at New Hope. And I, I can't emphasize probably more the value there is that when you share an experience with somebody, that shared experience is what meshes you together as brother and sister in Christ.
If you have a relationship with Christ, one of the things that just comes from that is you want to serve Him because He's done so much for us. So that never goes away. So we still haven't found and done all the serving we're going to do. Right now we're on the disaster relief team, and that's not going to end. And there's probably going to be a lot more opportunities that come our way because we have more time to say yes. We'll continue till we take our last breath.
Super grateful to Tom and Donna for taking the time to record that video. Let me give you the last reason, the last answer to our question today from our story. Why do we serve our community? We want to celebrate the stories of life change that will come in time from doing this. I think it's just such a great statement of faith that when we serve our community, serve the people, love them with no strings attached, we can go ahead and by faith begin to celebrate that there will be stories of life change. But most of the time, usually, that happens down the road. You don't serve a community and start serving people and instantaneously they all just start giving their life to Jesus. It takes a minute. It takes some time. It's called planting seeds. We plant seeds. You know, a good farmer would never plant in the spring and then complain 2 weeks later there's no harvest. No, they understand. It's a seasonal thing. You plant in the spring and eventually you get to the harvest in the fall. And we are in this for the long haul, and we're in this with the long view in mind. That's the real reason behind us giving a greater focus to college ministry in this new year. It's one of our new initiatives as a church. We've done college ministry, but we want to make this a greater point of emphasis, and we really want to step up how we serve on the campuses of UNC, Duke, NCCU, just right here in our local community. Because if we think about that for a moment, God is sending us a generation of leaders that we have the opportunity to reach with the gospel. I mean, you think about a high school student that finds out that he or she has been accepted to Duke or the University of North Carolina. None of us know what that feels like, right? I mean, my goodness, right? It's incredible. Some of you are like, I do. I know, you're awesome, right? But the rest of us, you know, we went to a lower school, all right? So hang with us, all right? So they're coming to a school and they think they're coming for an education, and might God be bringing them here for their salvation. Now, God has a whole other plan in store for them, and He's gonna use New Hope Church. New Hope Church isn't the point. We're not trying to point people to New Hope Church, we're pointing people to Jesus. And God's gonna use New Hope Church to point that college student who the Lord's not even on their radar. Gonna use us to point them to Jesus. And then they're gonna walk into whatever field of life God's gonna call them to. They'll be here for 3, 4, 5 years. Some of them maybe a little longer, but they're gonna be here. They're gonna get their degree. God's gonna call them on. And the kingdom impact. We got the long view in mind that the season that they were here, God used New Hope Church in life. What about the students who come here and they're already walking with the Lord and they need a spiritual home, they need a family of faith while they're in this pivotal season of their life, and God is, he's tapping you on the shoulder, he's tapping us, he's saying, be their spiritual family. And that, again, that's one of the mission, one of the areas in our Missions Connected. You can find out more. So what's that gonna look like? Serving on campuses. What's that gonna look like? Opening up our homes to college students. What's that gonna look like? Meeting needs that exist, not needs that we come up with. So this is, you're on the front lines. I mean, we're leading the way. This is gonna be a huge focus area for us, obviously, as we get into this year and then really kicking in high gear in the fall, where a whole new wave of college students will be moving to our community. But let's look at how this story we studied today ends, because I think it's actually the point of the entire story. So when Jesus finishes telling this amazing parable, he comes back to the expert in the law and he says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? I mean, that's a pretty obvious question. The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Here's the whole point of the story. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The point of the Good Samaritan isn't even the Good Samaritan. The point is the expert in the law. that Jesus is trying to get him to do what the Good Samaritan did. And if we read the story and we're inspired by the story, we love the story, we think it's a great story, and we don't do anything about the story, we're no better than the expert in the law who tried to trip up Jesus. The point of the story is that we go and do likewise. And so we're gonna finish up here in just a moment. I'm gonna pray. We're gonna worship together. So don't leave. We're gonna worship. We're gonna let God speak to us as we offer up our worship to him. And then before you leave today, go by the Missions Connect. This is a very practical message encouraging you to take a practical step. We've done the legwork. We have all of the things lined up. All you have to do is go by, find out, go and do likewise. And then over the next several months, you're gonna begin to put the things that we've talked about today into practice. And let me tell you what's gonna happen for you. As you begin to take these steps, it's almost like the scales will fall off your eyes and you will begin to see more needs around you than you've ever noticed before. You'll begin to recognize how not just you, but how collectively we as a church can meet these needs as well as we love and serve our community. So let me invite you to stand. We're gonna stand together. We're gonna pray together. We'll worship together, and then we'll all go out in the lobby and get connected together. And so, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this incredible parable that challenges us to go and do likewise. God, may we not just be inspired by the story. God, may we be motivated to act. God, may we be reminded of our need of you. May we be empowered by your Holy Spirit. God, may you make us more aware of the needs that are around us. God, may our church be a place known for how we love, known for how we serve, a church that's not in it for what we can get out of it, a church that's known to give and serve and love with no strings attached. God, we thank you for being a God who gives. God, we thank you for making it possible for us to be reconciled back to you through your Son. Thank you for that. So God, now as we worship you in this time, God, speak to us as your children. Encourage us, open our eyes to see what's going on in the world around us. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, amen.